Hey guys, I'm starting out a new financial channel with my co-host Michael Santinato. His channel is called BeFire Become Financially Indestructible. And we're trying to get his new channel up to 1,000 subscribers, so if you guys could go down there, the link is down below in the description. Also, the content's going to be released on his channel about 2 to 3 weeks before it gets released on mine. Again, the link is below, and now on with the show. All right, everybody, back again here with Michael Santinato for the Financially Indestructible podcast that we do every week. And what's really interesting about his story is for a bunch of years, he actually decided that he was going to go down to Latin America and find all kinds of wonderful Latin lovers. And there he is laughing about it already. So he's already kind of getting queasy about it. And so I wanted to talk about this because I found it interesting, because right now everyone knows how like popular the Passport Bro thing is. And he was doing it before there were the Passport Bros. So Michael, tell us what you were doing, where you went, and tell us what the women were like in Latin America and Central America.
Sure, man. I'm happy to. It's a lot. It was a long story there. Basically, with COVID, with the lockdowns, I did not want to be here in Canada. I resist, you know, control and authoritarianism. And I knew that when this thing started in March of 2020, it was either going to be 2 months or it was going to be 2 years. I'd done enough research on governments and history to conclude it would be 2 months or 2 years. So once 2 months had passed, I started getting this itch and this really tense feeling, and it continued, and I was married and I was really stressed and really tense. And, this frustration was building, because I educated myself. You know, as a Canadian, all you need is this little booklet. You can get it on Amazon, $15. It's called The Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And really simply, number three, you know, like the second page is, you will have freedom of movement without restriction, freedom of mobility. So everything that they were doing was a complete violation of our human rights and freedoms. So I'd already had a few friends who'd moved to other countries. I learned about geo-arbitrage through them and through research online, which is where you earn in a more dominant currency like the pound, the US or the Canadian dollar or the euro. And you live in a, say, third world country where their dollar is not as strong. So you're arbitrage, you're leveraging your dollar against theirs for a greater quality of living. So a number of things just happened and kind of pieced together for me to leave. In 2019, I spent 3 weeks in Brazil testing out, working online, living online, earning an income online. I stayed with one of my friends in Brazil in a place called Florianopolis, which was a beautiful beach island. There's like 30 beaches on this little island. And I spent time with him and his family, 3 weeks there, testing out living abroad, earning income online while I was married. And it was great. It worked. I went for 3 weeks. My then wife stayed in Toronto, and I had a great time, you know, living on less sunshine, beaches. I'm faithful, so I was not promiscuous at the time, and not a promiscuous person, so I didn't fool around. I just went to enjoy and experiment living abroad. And it was a great success. You know, business continued, income continued, and cost of living was low. And I had a great time. And so when 2020 and COVID came around, I wanted to leave. But there were certain flight restrictions and lockdowns and whatnot. And it took a big blow up in December of 2020 for me to realize I had to get the F out of Toronto. I had to get the F out of Canada. My then wife said, you know, you're really tense. I think you need a vacation. I think you need a trip. I said, yes, I agree. So I said, I'll go to Mexico for 3 weeks. I'll test it out, reset, fresh, clean slate. A lot of people, myself included, mental health was sort of, you know, up in the air for everything we were dealing with that insane time of all that pressure and forced issues and vaccines and all that stuff. It was really, you know, quite controversial and pretty effing crazy when you think about it. So interestingly enough, we'd already bought land in Mexico. We honeymooned in Mexico. We went to visit friends in Mexico. We had friends in Mexico. So prior to COVID, we bought land. We never even seen the land. We just did all the research online with a good friend of ours who's a director of finance of a big U.S. corporation. We bought it together. We did our due diligence. We loved this property. We could see it would be a great investment down the line. So I said, I'll go look at this investment. I'll go look at this property. So long story short, I went. We had a rift, a division in the marriage because she wanted to stay in Toronto and in Canada, and I did not. And so I went to Mexico, and I basically said, come, come with me. And she didn't want to come. She's Canadian. I guess she'd built a life and a network and stuff like that here in Canada, and she didn't want to leave. And I was like, this is going to get worse. We need to get the F out of Dodge. She didn't want to budge.
Well,
She didn't want to go.
it got so crazy that like towards the end when, like I think it's about 95% of people got the jab in Canada in terms of over the age of 18, and I was one of the last holdouts, and I never, I'm not getting that. Like, and then, it was like, oh, we're gonna put you in like our government camps, and I was like, all right, I've got to prepare to go in the woods because I can't leave the country, right? So it got that crazy. I was like, how am I going to sneak across the border at, like on the Niagara River on a raft to get across, Alcatraz, the movie Alcatraz with Clint
Man.
Eastwood trying to get across the
Plus all the great escape movies with Kurt Russell. Escape from New York, Escape from LA,
Escape from Canada. Yeah, it's
Escape from Canada,
so yeah, like so you basically escaped, and then so the marriage
man. I
ended,
had
and
to.
then what, like how, like after that, you started dating after a while after that. So what was your experience with that?
I had to escape. She didn't come to Canada. We split up, we separated, we divorced. I stayed in Mexico. I was loving Mexico. Warm climate, tropical climate, beach. Mexico has everything. Lakes, mountains, small towns, big cities, right like in the forest. You got desert, you have ocean, you have different, three different ocean like areas to be in. Like there's everything in Mexico. Most of the food is organic. The food quality is really high. The culture is really beautiful, full of arts. But one of the things that really attracted me was in Mexico's history, there have been more revolutions by the people than pretty much any other country on earth. Like they're known for sticking it to the government. They naturally inherently do not trust their government. They naturally inherently have a culture of F you to the government and revolution. This is the place to be. This is the place to be. Plus, my dollar went further, right? So my cost of living is way lower. You know what I mean? To rent or own a
But
condo.
yeah, no,
Go ahead.
I totally get that. But like in terms of the types of people you met there and what types of possibilities for relationships, like can you just break that down?
Of course, yeah. So the possibilities are amazing. I'm fortunate. I'm a tall, 6 foot white man. I'm, healthy. I'm not like one of those jacked dudes, but I'm fit. And so the possibilities are great because I'm from Canada, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But I also learned the language, right? When you make an effort to learn the language of that country or culture, anywhere you go in the world, all those citizens look at you like, hey, wow, how great. Thank you. That's awesome. And they happily and easily engage with you. So I went to Mexico, had a great time. I went to 25 different cities and towns in Mexico. And I worked online and met wonderful women from all over. I never did online dating prior to my divorce and prior to traveling Mexico, but I didn't, I knew people. I only know a few people in select parts of the city. And so I did online dating. I got catfished for my first time ever, which I wasn't expecting. Never knew that would happen. And learned a lot about that, what to look out for.
Well,
So that happened to me.
I know with Eastern European women, a lot of the time, if you get together with them, you have to wait for commitment and possibly even marriage before sex. So, like in terms of Latinas, like what did you find your experience was like in Mexico and Latin America in general?
Yeah, so the consciousness of Mexico is behind, North America, Canada, America by about, like 20 years, let's say. So there is a feminist movement that's been happening in Mexico for the last like 8 years or so, where there's marches here and there by women. They're fighting for women's rights, equal pay. It's being suppressed heavily by the government and the cartels.
Yeah.
The cartels mostly run the country. So if you're a kind man, you go a long way because there is this machismo culture. A thing that people don't know about is there's this machismo culture, which is, still very old ways of like men dominating, hitting their wives, beating their wives, drinking. There's this sect of like old Mexico that doesn't want to change. You have to think like ranchers, cowboy hats, they got horses, donkeys, they drink, they have businesses. The wife stays home and cooks. That's her role,
So this
right?
kind of like traditional patriarchal, man kind of
Yes.
thing. And so when they see these feminists come in, the cartels
With a
are
lot of
just,
abuse, though.
yeah, but the cartels are like literally ending the feminists. Like they're like their lives are
That's
being put
right.
to an end. It's insanity.
Yes, it is really crazy. The Mexican cartels, some of them are actually killing these women. And I would wake up one morning, for example, in Playa del Carmen, beautiful tourist city. And I wake up and I go for a great coffee in a cafe. And on the streets, there are these like red painted feet and hands and names. And it's because in the middle of the night, these Mexican women came and they're writing these words on the streets and the walls in red paint, like, this is our blood. Don't forget us. Like, they're killing us. Like, these are the names of the women. They're putting the women's names. They're very, very, very angry.
Well,
Some of them, not
the
all of them.
cartel doesn't want feminists to kind of destroy the beauty of their women. So what they're doing is they're scaring a lot of these women into like stopping their feminist things.
That's right. They're not just scared of the women and the beauty changing. They're scared of the entire culture changing, the entire country changing. They want them to keep their place. They're really like the old guard. They don't want the change. They're resistant of the change, and they don't want the equal pay and women's rights. They want to keep everything the same.
Well,
So they are.
they seem to be like achieving that at least.
Well, you can't. I think the thing about any movement is, when the time has come for an idea, the time has come, and you can't fight consciousness. And look at the GameStop thing, right? The GameStop saga with the traders and everything.
Yeah.
When there's enough momentum in a movement, you can't fucking fight it, no matter how much money you have. So they're
Yeah.
really just wasting their time, but they're trying to preserve onto what they know and what they have.
Well, look, it's like with the whole GameStop thing, they did fight back against that guy Roaring Kitty, who basically, basically backstopped the whole thing. But the problem with the feminism in Mexico is they can't go online and like silence them online so they can keep their anonymity and say whatever they want. It's just in in like real life, they're trying to keep them away in real life.
That's right. What's interesting about the Mexico thing, again, why I love the culture, and that why one reason why I chose that country to live there for 2 years is because they're very hands-on with their revolutions. These days, North America, they're quote revolting from their couch, from their iPhone, right? They're posting on Twitter. That's the revolution,
Well, you
which
get
is kind of
those,
true because it kind of works,
you
but
get
it's also
those,
kind of nonsense.
you get those women who have like, we have to instill communism. Meanwhile, they're drinking their Starbucks and they're on their Apple, right? They're
That's
just
right.
like, so it's.
Today's, but even it's not just the Karens, it's also the young boys and stuff. I support Black Lives Matter, let's say, for example. Why? Because you posted on Twitter that you support Black Lives Matter. Like Mexico, they're out there in the streets. They're still, I would be going to a 7-Eleven or an OXXO, which is like the major convenience store chain there, and there would be like a parade walking by, and they're shouting and they're screaming, they got megaphones, and it's like, man, like, when does that happen in the world here now? There, it's regular occurrence there in Mexico.
But you
Depends
see,
on what part of Mexico you're in, obviously.
like yesterday, I was watching something on my Twitter feed, and there were a bunch of feminists in Mexico City, and they were going kind of nutso on the middle of in the middle of the street. And all of a sudden, some guy on a motorcycle pulls up, and he's like, they start like pestering him, and then he like starts getting violent, and literally, it's him versus like 50 feminists, and they're all fighting, and he ends up like walking away, like almost completely unscathed. I mean, his shirt is missing, but other than that, like, right? So, like, you see stuff like that, and it's like if it was in the West, they would have like arrested him and taken him away, but in Mexico, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny because Mexico is such a big country. We don't realize it's a big, big country. Like, I went to 25 cities and towns, and there's another 25 that I still want to go to. They have like four times the population of Canada, even though it's a smaller country. It's still a big country. It's heavily populated. You got small towns all over, and every town is different. You could go to a town and it's like being in the 1970s, right? Where there's like donkeys and
You mean the
horses
1870s?
and dirt roads. Yeah, I guess, of course you're right, 1870s. But then you could go to other cities and bigger towns where it's like a sprawling metropolis with every, influence of every culture all over, and technology and cool rideshare bike and apps, and they got Uber and they got Uber Eats and they got, their own delivery systems, and it's very technological. Going back to the women, though, I dated women of all different kinds and consciousnesses and different cities and towns, and they love gringos. They love white men.
But
They
how do
love.
they differ from Western women?
Yeah, so they're very much. It's a very interesting question. So here, Western women will offer to pay the bill on the first date, and some might expect it, some might not, and some want to pay and whatever. And in Mexico, they wouldn't do that. They still kind of let you be the man, and they still let you take care of them, and they'll still take care of you. They'll still feed you. They'll still, make nice meals and dishes for you. They're very feminine, so they're very into their beauty and looking good. There is a interesting kind of policy in Mexico where they don't kiss on the first date. So not only do they not put out naturally on the first date or the first 3 dates or the first few dates, but even if a girl likes you, she will not kiss you on the first date. In other countries, if there's a connection and you enjoy each other, then you can kiss on the first date, and that's kind of normal and expected. I remember having a great connection with a great girl in a by the ocean, the moonlight, the stars, this kind of thing, on a really nice night on this, it's called a malecón, which is like a boardwalk. And I knew she liked me. I liked her. And I went to kiss her at the end of the first day. I thought for sure we'd kiss. And she like turned away cold, cold, cold right in my face. And I learned later that it's because they have this inherent rule where nothing happens on the first date. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yeah, so
And some cultures.
it's pretty much like what you see in Eastern Europe, same thing.
Yes, very common to Eastern Europe. I went to Colombia. I spent about 8 months in Colombia. Extremely different. Extremely different. They are willing to go all the way on the first date.
What? So
Yeah.
they've completely become westernized.
No. It's not that they've become westernized. Their culture is just different, where they're more into lovemaking and sex and beauty and femininity. So Colombia and Venezuela, these countries are, they have the most beautiful women in the world. These two countries have won the Miss Universe pageant for decades, more times than any country. So trust me when I say the most beautiful women on earth are in Venezuela and Colombia.
So basically their notch counts are the highest, so they could be most damaged from too many encounters.
Well, we did another video, you and I, where we talked about that. So people can, watch that video about that conversation. I will just say that they are more loyal, more feminine, more sexual, more sensual in Venezuela and Colombia than anywhere I've been on Earth. And going all the way on a first date is totally possible. It's totally, plausible. It happens. They're very comfortable with their body. They care very, very, very much about their beauty. And they're even maybe 20 years further behind Mexico in terms of consciousness, in terms of ways of being and the whole masculine, feminine thing.
I can understand with Venezuela with the communism and the economic hardship, but I didn't understand how is it the similar in Colombia in terms of economy, or was it a little bit
I
different?
haven't been to Venezuela yet. I actually I plan on going. The thing is I met very I met many Venezuelan women in Mexico and in Colombia. There is an exodus of people, men and women, leaving Venezuela, and they're coming to Colombia, and they're coming to Mexico, and they're coming to Canada too. They want, better quality of life. They want more opportunity, and these countries are open to them. So I plan on going to Venezuela because I met a guy recently who told me all about like 20,000 USD condos on the water, in Venezuela, like on an island. So imagine living on an island, buying a condo or a house for 50 grand, 60 grand USD. And
Gotcha.
you're literally on the beach, palm trees, beautiful sunshine, beautiful beaches. And the women there, I'm sure, are out of this world.
Okay. All right. I think we've pretty much covered everything for this one. If anyone wants us to cover anything in more depth, we might cover it again in another video. So, and if anyone wants to talk to Michael or talk to me, our contact links are down below in the description. So you can basically find us through that. And that's about it. See you guys later. All right. Good.
Yeah, man, I thought I wanted to hear more about Passport Bros. I thought you could tell me more about Passport Bros.
Well, you are a passport bro, technically. So,
Okay, I'm gonna have to look that up.
well, that's it. If you want these videos 2 weeks before I release them here, then check out the Financially Indestructible channel in the description. It's right near the top. If you have any finance-related topics that you want us to cover, then please leave them in the description. Michael and I both do coaching, and you can reach us through the links below too. Anyways, enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.